with the animals. Didn't matter whether it was good or bad. That was God's first tithe. That was His first tithe. Okay, now let's discuss the second tithe. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 15, verses 19 through 23. Deuteronomy 15, verses 19 through 23. I said this is going to be kind of like a Bible study. But then you'll have to, maybe there's some principles you can dig out of here to sort of figure out how you should spend second tithe. It says, Deuteronomy 15, verse 19, all the firstborn males that come from your herd and your flock, you shall sanctify to the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, nor shear the firstborn of your flock. Then he says, you and your household shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year in the place which the Lord chooses. Ah, look what happens to the firstborn. They eat it in the place which the Lord chooses. Now, I don't know, I've not ever been someone who had a cow, a heifer, and it has been suggested that a heifer could in her lifetime have 10 or more calves, and a ewe could have 10 or more. Most ewes after the first year, they might have one, but after that, they tend to have twins. So you could have more. But anyway, it might even out, but eventually, maybe the balance would be that you would get 10 calves or more, or 10 lambs or more. So it would end up being about a tenth. You and your household shall eat it before the Lord your God. See, you eat it in the place which the Lord chooses. But if there is a defect in it, now, those of you who said, oh, if there's a defect, that was not the first tithe. That was the second tithe. This is second tithe. Because you eat it yourself where? In the place God chooses. Well, when do you go to the place that God chooses? Three times in a year. Okay, you went to the feast. And they would take their tithes and their offerings and their vows. A vow was, you see that often in the Bible where it says you could take your vows. And that is when you'd say to God, God, the next, this calf right here that was not a first tithe, but looks real good, I'm going to give to you. And when this calf is big enough, I'm going to take it and offer it as an offering. It could be a peace offering, something else. But you could promise it, a vow. You could say to God, this is yours. So often it says when you make a vow to the Lord, be sure you pay it. And it wasn't just talking about, well, I promised to do so-and-so. It was, I promised to give you this item. And that was a vow. But if there's a defect in it, if it is lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. You may eat it within your gates. The unclean and the clean person alike may eat it as if it were a gazelle or a deer. Now see, a wild animal, you didn't take and sacrifice them at the temple. You could eat them anytime you wanted. Well, you could eat within your own gates, even if this was a firstborn, if it was not up to snuff, if there was a serious defect. And then he says, only you shall not eat its blood. You shall pour it on the ground like water. Now I want to go back to Deuteronomy 14, which you've heard many times. And we will read it again. And this gets into a little bit about how we are to use the second tithe. And I've already covered how you can tell the difference between first tithe and second tithe. If it mentions the tithe of your grain, your wine, your oil, and then it says, and the firstlings of your herd and flock, You know which tithe it's talking about, don't you? Second tithe. So in Deuteronomy 14, verse 22, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. Now, is this the one that you give to the Levite? Well, notice what it says, verse 23. And you shall eat. So this is not the tithe that you give to the priests and Levites. This is the tithe you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where He chooses to make His name abide. We've already read that that's talking about second tithe. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks. So he's talking about the festival tithe, which we call second tithe. This was a second one that you give, as was brought out even by the priest, Josephus. But notice what he says. That you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what is the purpose of the festival tithe? The purpose is to learn to fear the Lord your God always. The purpose is not just to obey a law. The purpose of the Sabbath is not just to do nothing on the seventh day of the week. The purpose of all of the law of God is to learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You say, what's that got to do with fear? But fearing God is to fear to hurt your neighbor, to fear to kill your neighbor, to fear to steal from your neighbor, to fear to take God's name in vain, to fear to have hatred in your heart, but instead to learn to love God and to obey God, because his obedience to God is learning to love. So we go to the feast to learn. We go to learn. Now, not just to fear God, but we learn many things at the feast. God's feast teaches us. So the purpose is not to go and just go sightseeing. Now, some people have done that where they will just skip services and go sightseeing. We got all this money. You know, not everybody has all this money. Some people are just barely keeping the feast. My first feast, I had $75. Of course, it was 1959. $75 went a ways. But I paid $25 to get from Pasadena to Big Sandy, which was the only place we held a feast then at that time. Called it Bloodwater then. And I paid something like $35 to stay in one of those booths that was there on campus. And then the rest I had for food. And I mostly ate peanut butter and honey and bread, and would buy a quart of milk. Quart of milk was only a quarter, so that was helpful. And I ate one or two meals in the Redwood Building. How many of you have eaten a meal in the Redwood Building? Oh, a few of you at the feast. You're all old if you did that. You're just old, old, old. If you ate in the Redwood. My wife helped serve, and her mother helped serve in the Redwood Building. So she was on the line because they lived in that area. But the purpose is to learn. To learn. And listening to God's Word being expounded, that's part of it. Now, it's nice to be able, if you have a few extra shekels in your pocket, to enjoy yourself. And he says that here. He says that. Now, what if you lived a long distance and you had calves Now, you could not redeem the first tithe, whether it was good or bad. I mean, you could redeem the grain, but you could not redeem the new calves and lambs that went tenth and one under the rod. You couldn't redeem them. But these you could redeem. You could sell them. If the journey is too long for you, you imagine somebody who lived all the way up to the north, or all the way to the north would be the ones up at Dan and Naphtali who lived way up north. And maybe some of those who are on the other side of Jordan, Reuben and half tribe of Manasseh, maybe it's a little long for them so that you're not able to carry the tithe. Or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you when the Lord your God has blessed you. I'm going to stop right there. What if God hadn't blessed them enough to go? You know, a person might have to wait 2 years in order to be able to go. Have to save up. And sometimes people have had to do that. Have had to save up. Some people didn't go every year. We try to make it so that people who really want to go can go every year if they ask. Too far for you when the Lord your God has blessed you. That is, when you have got enough. You could save it over a year if you need it. Then you shall exchange it for money. See, you are redeeming it. Take the money in your hand. Didn't have to add a fifth part here. You just go and you'd sell it to somebody. And go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. Now, most of us are paid. Very few of us are farmers. Most of us just receive it as money. And so we just take the money and we go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. And I know I have heard this quoted, and people have said, well, whatever my heart desires. You know what I'd really like is a new car. And a new set of clothes. A new suit. And a new this and a new that and a new the other. And people say, is that okay? And I say, yes. Well, you got to read the rest of it. It says, whatever your heart desires, it does say, it kind of gives you a clue as to what kind of thing you should spend it on. It says, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires, but notice this last part, you shall eat there before the Lord your God. Now that is, you're supposed to eat it. That's what he's saying. So, I've heard of one guy who did actually grind up a car and slowly eat the whole thing. How many of you ever heard of that? Anybody else ever heard? You heard of that? Okay, just a few of you heard. The guy ground it up and he slowly ate the whole car. You know, in little pieces. I guess it took him quite a few years. But that does sound like a real feast meal, doesn't it? You know, take the whole idea is to learn to fear God. The purpose of the money is to be there to learn. Now, people have said, well, can I buy a new set of tires or something like that? And, you know, your car, there is a certain expense of your car. The government allows you 50 cents a mile. That's not 50 cents a mile plus gasoline and oil and maintenance. That's strictly that amount when you take a trip. And you are, you know, if you're taking a car, I mean, if you took a plane, you use it. Because why? You're using it to go to the feast in order to learn from God. Remember, this, the whole idea is you want to get to the feast to learn from God. My wife asked me this morning, could you buy the children some new clothes? And, you know, if somebody doesn't, if they don't have clothes, I wouldn't, it's not a time, obviously, to get a new wardrobe. It's going to last you, you know, buy four or five sets of clothing. And, you know, just the new wardrobe comes at Feast Tabernacles every year. But if somebody didn't have something, if you needed something, I certainly would maybe buy a new dress or a new outfit, or if you're going up to someplace that's really cold, to get the child a jacket. If a person doesn't need it, you know, if the only way you're going to get to the feast, the only way you're going to get there is to buy a new set of tires, and you frankly don't have the money. Now, I have had people come to me and say, I can't go to the feast unless I buy a new set of tires. And we've said, well, go ahead, but look, don't use all your second tithe on a new set of tires, because you're going to use them all year long. Now, you could prorate them as to how many miles it is to the feast and how many miles you're going to get out of these tires. But I said, let us give you some help of money that's not second tithe to help you buy those tires. Because, I mean, if a person's really poor, we'd like to help you. But I hate to see you use all your second tithe on tires where you can't really enjoy the feast if things are that tight. So we help them. The idea is you want to go to the feast. You want to enjoy the feast. It's not mostly a physical feast. It's a spiritual feast. But we also want it to be a physical feast. We want people to be able to enjoy themselves. We want them to have, you know, at least a few nice meals out, everybody. So we eat there. Does the King James say eat it there? I don't know. And you shall rejoice, you and your household. Isn't that nice? You shall rejoice, you and your household. And it says in verse 27, you shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. You know, what a deal. What a deal God gives us. It says not to forsake the Levite. Now, I've heard two different understandings of this. Because God did tell the Levites they were to get the firstborn. But he specifically says this. I want to read this to you. I'm not going to turn to it. It's in Numbers 18. But the firstborn of a cow, the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. And that is unless it's too far. But the question is, was this a male? You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and blood burn their fat as an offering. All right, he's speaking to the Levites, and they've received it. They didn't live, weren't supposed to live just way out. And they didn't have a lot of that anyway. This was something brought to them. They were given and brought to the feast. And so he's telling the Levites, you're not to redeem it if somebody brings it to you. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and burn their fat as an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. And their flesh shall be yours. But then he says this, just as the wave breast and the right thigh are yours. Now, the peace offering, that's what they got. And everybody enjoyed it. The priest got the breast and the right thigh. The rest of it, other than the kidney, the fat, and some of the blood, not all the blood, some was poured out on the ground, but some would be poured on the altar. And then the person who brought it would take the rest of it, and they would have a big meal. And they would invite all their friends and such. It was a time of great rejoicing. So the question is, with the second tithe, did they get the breast and the right thigh? And that's all they got. Some have suggested that the priest and the Levites got all the male firstborn, and the people kept the female firstborn for themselves. I haven't really studied that out. I don't know. But the point is not the same for us, since we're not really an agrarian society. Not too many of you have cattle, so it's kind of a moot question for us. And most of us would sell it anyway and take the money, wouldn't we? How many of you, if you had a firstborn, would take it to the feast? So, anyway, Deuteronomy 14, verse 28. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." Now, this is what Josephus was referring to when he says, at the end of every third year. What they aren't saying that you find elsewhere is this, it was every third year in a 7-year cycle. That is, there was a 7-year cycle. But the 7th year was the year of the land Sabbath. And they didn't plant anything. So it was the 3rd and 6th year, it turns out, in a 7-year cycle. With the exception, you would count 7 7-year cycles, but then you would have the 50th year was the Jubilee, and God said that in the 6th year, I'll bring enough for you to go through 2 years. Whereas normally it was just, I'll bring you enough in the 6th year that you can get through it was 3 years, the other one, but for 2 years. That is your 7th year, and then you can eat into the next year. But you have, but they're just giving the short form here, just saying every third year. And you have to go to other places to find out that it was, and they know this, that it was every 3rd and 6th year in the 7-year cycle. But notice he says that the Lord your God may bless you. Now, I want to go back and think about this. What a deal. I mean, I just think the Feast of Tabernacles is wonderful. I love the Feast of Tabernacles, even in Africa. It's not the same physical rejoicing that you have here. It's more of a spiritual rejoicing, more fellowship, more eating the same thing day after day. And one time they asked me to go to the feast coordinators meeting so that they could have uniformity of all the feasts around the world. So they wanted more of a uniform feast for Africa as they have here. And Lucretia said, well, now if you want to have a uniform feast with Africa, everybody around the world is going to have to give up steaks. Because if you're eating steaks here in America, it's not uniform over in Africa. So, she didn't say it with that kind of emphasis, but I'm saying it with that. Such a deal for you. For those of you who have jobs, probably you have more money to spend at the Feast of Tabernacles. Not all of you, I realize that. But many of you have more money to spend at the Feast of Tabernacles than any other time of the year. I mean, if you go into a restaurant and you want a steak, you tell them, bring me the biggest steak you got back there, or the tenderest, or don't bring me that sirloin, bring me tenderloin. No, I want lamb. I want a double portion of your lamb. Charge me double, fine. I don't want just these little lamb chops and 3 of them. I want 6 or 7 of them. Bring it in, I want it. Those of you who, like us, you drink 2-buck chuck. For those of you who know what that is, they don't sell it here in the state. You can get it up in Cincinnati at Trader Joe's. You can get it down in Atlanta, although it's a little over, it's 3-buck chuck down there. Charles Shaw. It's not a bad wine, but at the feast you say, no, I want that, and I don't know if you do this or not, I want that $20 bottle of wine. I'm not going to ask a show of hands how many of you have ever gone to the feast and gotten. I was at Jekyll Island one time, and one of the ministers talked us into going with them the last night to the cloisters. Anybody ever been to the cloisters over on St. Simon's Island? You've been there? You've been there? Did you enjoy it? You didn't? Did you enjoy it? You did? Okay. It's hard for me to enjoy a meal that costs that much. I didn't realize how much it would be, but it was not inexpensive. It was really expensive. And because I didn't know what it was going to be when he said, let's go to the cloisters over on St. Simon's Island. But I don't normally, I have not found that that a really expensive bottle of wine tastes all that much better than some that are a little less, maybe better than the... And you can get two-buck chuck out in California for $1.99. That's why they call it two-buck chuck. Charles Shaw. How many of you have had Charles Shaw? How many of you think it's actually not a bad wine? It's not a bad wine. So, okay. But you can do better at the feast. That's what I'm saying. But the whole idea is such a deal. God says, and people, when they first come in the church, say, you mean we've got not only first tithe, but we have got second tithe. And you remember all these things going out about the church pays, and they indicated that the church, we were paying to Pasadena 30% of our income every year. You know, that was implied that we were doing that. The fact that we were paying 10% and some offerings, but 10% we were basically saving for ourselves, but they do ask if you have enough that you send the tithe of your tithe to help those who have less and also to pay for the buildings that we meet in and some of the expenses. So they have requested that people pay tithe of the tithe for that. People who barely are able to make it to the feast do not do that. Don't pay tithe of the tithe. But if you have enough, and many of us do, to do that. Now, such a deal. God says, and people say, how can I afford this? How you afford it is in Deuteronomy 14, verse 29, where it says, that the Lord your God may bless you. God says, save up 10%, go to the feast, eat nice meals, stay in very nice locations. How many of you have been to Steamboat Springs and stayed in that spot? Did you love it? Isn't that magnificent? I mean, we were over in Africa the year before. I think that was the year we had no water, no electricity. We had hot and cold running roaches. And, you know, it was just and brown water to bathe. It was like a sponge bath, but we actually had little wash rags, not a sponge. And then the next year, I think it was, we went to Steamboat Springs. And Lucretia walked into that room. There's this big window that goes all the way across, and it's high, and all these magnificent mountains out there. And you got a separate bedroom and a kitchen there and a table. And I mean, it's just beautiful. And she walked in, she looked up out that window, and she said, I cannot believe I am here. I cannot believe I'm here. I mean, it says, I wish the Africans could have a feast like that. But many of you will. Melissa and Matt are going to Steamboat. They're the only ones that are going to Steamboat. Many of you going to Gatlinburg. We've stayed in Gatlinburg. We stayed in one of those chalets, you know, one of those cabins that they have for rent. Really nice. We shared with Fred and Darlene, and David and Mandy shared with, I don't know, Matt and Melissa, or they've shared with Matt and Melissa. I don't know what Debbie and Tim did. Were they separate off? They were on their own. They were the smart ones. They weren't there that year? Okay. And beautiful view that you have of the mountains there. Or you're going down to Panama City Beach and you have that gorgeous ocean to go out and look and enjoy and nice restaurants. And God says, I want you to really enjoy my feast. And if you do, I'm going to bless you for it. Now, what kind of deal is that? I want you to eat good meals. I want you to drink things that you like. I want you to listen to sermons. I want you to fellowship. I want you to do things that the church has in the evening, maybe a picnic for the church. And I'll bless you for it. Now, that's a good deal. That's a really great deal. That the Lord your God may bless you. So he says, for whatever your heart desires. And basically he's talking about things for to eat. Oxen, sheep, wine, similar drink. German beer. I remember I went to the feast when Cheyenne was first born. I mean, it was the first feast we went. She wasn't, it wasn't the first one. It wasn't when she was a tiny baby. It was her second feast. And we went up to Wisconsin Dells. And, you know, they have all this good cheese. I mean, the highlight of the feast for us was our granddaughter. And it should be every year, shouldn't it? I mean, it should be Cheyenne every year. Or should it be Sierra or, you know, any of them. But she was the only one we had. And we took our van and we sat. We let Mandy and David in the front seat. And we sat in the next seat. And she was in a little rear-facing seat. So we sat there on either side of her and just stared at her beauty the whole trip. And but we bought all this cheese, you know, this good, really good cheese. And they had all the beef sausage. And I can afford German beer. And so we'd get back from morning services and I would have pieces of beef sausage in one hand and cheese in the other. But then we'd get back if we had afternoon services and I would have a little sandwich of cheese and sausage in this hand and German beer in the other hand. Gained 10 pounds. Five of it left quickly, but the other five took forever to go away. But it was a wonderful feast with wonderful memories of being with Cheyenne. I would take, you know, the little green olives, their little rings, and I would put them on her little fingers like little rings, and then she would eat them off of her fingers. And she would reach over. She'd sit between Grandma and myself, and she'd reach over and grab things out of our plate. She would eat the salad. So that was fun. So I'm talking about what to do with your second tithe. I can't decide in every case. I'm not Solomon. I'm trying to give you some guidelines of what the purpose is. God wants you to get there. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be close to Him, to develop respect for Him and love for Him and for His laws. I realize some people are here not even going to be able to go. And I know that. And I wish that everybody could go. But some of you will be maybe listening in on the internet. And I understand that. But you know, you can get as much out of the feast. Tom wrote an article about staying home from the feast. I haven't read it, but I believe it's supposed to be put in the United News, the next one coming out. And my mother-in-law had to stay home. She hasn't been able to keep the feast for years, but she wrote a wonderful letter, which I've read to you, so I didn't bring it to read again, about how they kept the feast at home because of her health and her daughter's health, who had cancer. Martha June, Lucretia's older sister, who died very shortly after that. But they had a wonderful last feast together that they could enjoy. Okay, and we have still a few minutes. Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. We do want, it is okay to buy. I remember when the church finally said, because there was a time when we wouldn't bring anything home from the feast. Except little mementos. And then they began doing feast gifts. Well, you can give somebody a gift or a new Bible or something like that. But we were very careful because it says you're not to eat it in your own gate the second time. And we need to be careful. If the only way you can get to the feast, or the only way you can dress your children and decently, you know, to give them a new dress or a new little outfit, and that's really special for the feast. I think God would certainly want you to do that. Make the feast special for them however you can. When I was a boy, I don't know, girls are a little different from boys, isn't that wonderful? But to get a gift of clothing meant nothing to me. Absolutely nothing. How many of you guys, when you were little, clothing just, you didn't care at all? That was, you know, there are a few. There's one back there. There's another over there. I mean, what are you going to do? Blue jeans is all I wanted anyway, and a pair of sneakers, a pair of Kids back then. That was the only sneaker was Kids, the only brand. Deuteronomy 12. And we'll read down to verse 22 if we have time. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. This is not going to be done away. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. He knew if they left them. By the way, if you go to Rome and you're taking a tour and they go around and this is the Basilica of, you know, St. John or whoever it is. And it was originally a temple to Mars, you know, the Roman god Mars. And then you go to another one and here's church. They just would take the same temples that the Romans had and they put a cross on top. How many of you have been there and have seen that? Just, there you go. Boy, Lucretia just did not like going into St. Peter's. I mean, it's beautiful. It's really gorgeous. Just reminds you of where it says, you know, back in Revelation 17 with all the jewels and such. But I was fascinated, but Lucretia just felt like it was creepy. So anyway, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes. Years ago, I gave a sermon on how that's done today. To put His name for His dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take. There's where you're to take. What? Your burnt offerings. By the way, we still have a burnt offering. It's the name of our burnt offering is Jesus Christ. Pictured Him. Your sacrifices. Your tithes. Plural. They had to take the first tithe too. They didn't take the third tithe. That was to be given to the widow within their own gates and the orphans and the poor in their own gates. But they would take the tithes. Mus, he doesn't say you shall take your tithe. It says take your tithes. So they would take their first tithe and their second tithe and they would give it to the priests and Levites. But they got to eat the second tithe, but they would give the firstborn. And the priest would sacrifice it and do as we discussed. But the first tithe was just given to them completely for the year round. The heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings. See, there's the vow we mentioned where they would say, God, I'm going to give you this. Your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, which was part of the tithe anyway. And verse 7. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice. See, not to eat that at home. In all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. And this is an interesting verse right here, verse 8. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. You know, all of us, they say, live according to your conscience. And there's a partial truth to that. But only if your conscience is guided by the Word of God. A lot of people are living by their own conscience. And they're doing exactly against what was brought out by Coleman Walker. They're wanting to have marriage, men and men, marriage between women and such. Well, we need to be inclusive. We need, Well, that would make sense if there is no Word of God. If God didn't condemn it, then you could say, well, it makes sense. That's love. But the Bible condemns it completely. So you're not to do whatever is right in his own, every man, what's right in his own eyes. Doesn't say don't do what's wrong in your own eyes. It's obvious. You shouldn't do what's wrong. But he says don't even do what's right in your own eyes. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, that is, if they had obeyed God, so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, we discussed those, your sacrifices, your tithes, plural, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. That was so they'd have a vow. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. It's not to be a bad time, it's to be a great time. And usually is. Before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you, you're to share with him your grain, and you're to give him at least part of the firstborn that you have. Either the male or the breast and the thigh, the right thigh, since he has no importance nor portion nor inheritance with you. Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see. But in the place which the Lord chooses in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. Now, we don't have to go to Jerusalem. God has rejected Jerusalem, and he has chosen other places, and I've given sermons on that out of the Bible, because Jerusalem is not the place anymore. It has been rejected, destroyed. The temple has been destroyed. The Shekinah has left, which is something I don't need to bother explaining right now, though it means God's presence is not there anymore. Deuteronomy 12:15. However, you may slaughter and eat meat within all your gates. So you say, well, what if I want to eat meat the rest of the time? Whatever your heart desires, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The unclean and clean, the clean may eat of it, of the gazelle and the deer alike. Now, you can eat a gazelle or a deer anytime or any place that you want. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it on the earth like water. You may not eat within your gates. So this is our tithe. The tithe of your grain or your new wine or your oil of the firstborn of your herd or your flock. Now which, you see, you don't eat the first tithe. That's given to the Levite. So which one is he saying, the tithe, you don't eat it within your own gate? And he throws in the firstborn of your herd and flock. That's second tithe. So he's saying, don't eat the second tithe in your own home. It's not for use at home. That's not its purpose. So if you bring something from the feast, it's not normally to be, well, I bought a new car at the feast. So it was a feast gift. Now you can do that if you want. If you've got that much second tithe, you probably have enough money to buy a car anyway. If your second tithe will pay for a car. But, there's nobody in this audience, I'm quite sure, that's quite that much. But anyway, except Mr. Vernage. Oh, and right in front of him, the robins. I'm sure they could do that. I'm sure. Yeah. It's wonderful to be retired, isn't it? I wish I could get there with you. The firstborn of your herd and flock. Now see, don't eat it within your gate. Of any of your offerings which you vow, of your freewill offerings or of the heave offering of your hand. But you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God chooses. You don't eat it at your own place. That's what it's for. Well, we've come up to the end of our time. And he does say, I want to skip down in verse 20, when the Lord your God enlarges your border as he has promised you, and you say, let me eat meat, because you long to eat meat, you may eat as much meat as your heart desires, in the if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you. In other words, you can't just go up and offer it any time of the month. Then you may slaughter from your herd. That is, not the first tithe, not the second tithe, but all the animals that went through after, you know, the first one, second one, third one under the rod was yours. You could eat it any. He's saying you can eat that anytime you want. It's only the tenth one and the firstborn that you cannot eat in your gates. But you may slaughter from your herd and from your flock, which the Lord has given you, just as I have commanded you, and you may eat within your gates as much as your heart desires. That's your own money, your own calves, not the first or second tithe. Just as the gazelle and the deer are eaten, you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat them. I hope that that's helpful, and I don't have all the answers, but maybe that will give you some ideas. For most of you, you're going to say, well, that's a refresher. You've known that. Don't forget about the teen Bible study. Oh, I wish Dave and Regina were here so I could just, you know, egg a little.